You frustrated because people are always taking your pens? Just put a blue ink cartridge inside of a fuchsia pen, because no one will ever steal a fuchsia pen. Well, except Greg.
To magically open your office door with your phone, just put your key card inside of your phone case, wave your phone in front of the sensor, and open Sesame.
Make your passwords more secure by using special characters like the Enye. And now, no one will ever be able to hack your phone.
What's up, South Bay? Man, it's good to see everybody today. Yes, I love it. All right, so I want to welcome all of our campuses, as well as those of you who are joining us online, and any Warriors fans around today. All right, it feels much better to say that after a big win like that than, you know, the other way. So, hey, we're so glad that you're here with us. It's week 3 of Life Hacks. And we started this series because when we think about life, we're always looking for different ways that we can make it around obstacles in life. I mean, you know, some of these we look for, like, how can we do this easier, more efficient? How can I do it better? And one of these, maybe you can relate. So any guys here, you got the mustache and the beard, anybody proud of it? All right, a few of us, all right. The rest of us are sad that we can't grow it. So anyways, now you may be able to relate with this, especially, but now this applies to everybody, really, it does, whether you're man, woman, female, beard or none. So here we go. All right, so you know, you ever been to the party? Like, it could be your office party, it's a birthday party, and there is the cupcake. You know what I'm talking about? Like, here's a cupcake. Maybe you're on that date, you know, you're trying to, like, how do you eat a cupcake full of frosting and not get frosted all over and look just terrible, right? So how do we do it? So here, let me just show you a little life hack right here. This is what you do. Next time, with said cupcake, just take, twist the bottom off, put it on top, make a little sandwich. Done. All right? South Bay, you're welcome. I'm not going to eat it because I haven't figured out the life hack on how to not choke on a cupcake up here yet. So, but you know, you can do that right there. Now you have a conversation starter and you can eat your cupcake with confidence as you go forward. But now here's the thing, is that we have little things like this that we look for, like, what's the simple thing around this? But then there's bigger areas of our lives. I mean, we ask the question, how can I be smarter in my relationships? Maybe it's, how can I manage my finances better? How can I be more efficient so I can really maximize my time? And during this series, we are looking back in the book of Proverbs, which is found in the Old Testament, at the wisdom that is found there in the Bible to see how we can learn some life hacks so that we can foolproof our life. And before we jump in, today we're going to look at two different characteristics that really go hand in hand. And these are planning and trusting. Planning and trusting. Now, how many of you at all of our campuses, maybe even online, you can do this wherever you're sitting at, but you know, you would say you are a planner, you lean towards planning. I mean, you're the one who wants to have it done minute by minute. Oh, don't mess with my agenda. Like, let me lock it down. I want to know what's happening, all right? Like, this is how you are, okay? How many of you would say you are on the opposite side of that? You're not the planner, or you lean towards not planning, all right? So your life motto is, it'll be fine. I want to keep my options open. Don't put me in a box, right? Like, that's you. That's where you're at. And when we look around a room, I mean, all of us are different. We have different personalities, wirings, the way that we handle and approach problems and situations. But here's the reality, is that for all of us, at some point in our life, we will have to make some kind of plan. Because I guarantee you, if you are a Warriors fan and you are not a planner, you made some kind of plan last night to watch the game, right? You did. But then there are also things outside of our life or that no matter how much we plan, how pretty our plan looks, how perfect it is, there are some things that we can't control, no matter how good that we plan. And there is this tension that we all face, especially when it comes into following Jesus and what is God calling us to do, between planning on our own and trusting God with our plans and with our life. And Solomon, who is the king of Israel, he's the writer of Proverbs that we're about to look at here in just a moment, would have this instance in his life where God would appear to him and paint this picture of two different paths, one that he could go down and the nation of Israel could go down, and another one that they could go down if they chose. And I want us to look at this, and this is in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, we're going to jump in there, but let me give you a little bit of background on what's happening. See, in 1 Kings, in the beginning of it, when you read, you see that Solomon would become the king of the nation of Israel. Solomon would build his palace, and then he would move on to now building a temple there in Jerusalem so that Israelites could worship God. At this point, the reason that this is so significant, not only would this be the place where they would worship God, where they would offer their prayers, where they would offer sacrifices to cover their sin, because at this point, Jesus has not come yet. This is several hundred years before Jesus would be there, and so they would offer these animal sacrifices, a temporary covering for sin, until Jesus would one day be the final, ultimate sacrifice. And here they would come to this place, and it was this huge endeavor because at this point in time, all the way up into their history, God had not dwelled among them in a temple. It had been in a tent. They had this tent that they would go and they would offer their sacrifices and worship God, and now Solomon is building the temple. And because of the significance of this, I mean, the whole nation, the whole eyes, they're all watching what is happening. And when they get close to the finishing of the temple and they're dedicating it, all the elders, the tribal leaders, the people are all coming here to Jerusalem to see this temple and to be there to worship. And then Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 8, would stand before the entire nation. And he would offer this prayer of dedication, where he would ask God this would be a place, this temple, where God would dwell among his people, that his name would be there forever, that, man, it would be a place that the people could come and they would pray and God would hear their prayers, that even the foreigners, those who weren't Israelites, when they came and would pray, or that they would even find God, that they would, when the people would sin and turn away from God, but when they would come back and humble themselves and confess their sin and come to God, that God would hear them and he would forgive them and he would restore them. Like, this is Solomon's prayer in front of the entire nation. And then after this, they would go into this celebration, 14 days of worshiping and celebrating as they dedicate this temple to God. And at the end of that period, all the people are heading back home and leaving throughout the city. And I just imagine Solomon, you know, like the exhaustion, one, he must have felt with all the things that had happened, but then two, the fulfillment and the satisfaction of what they've been able to accomplish, what they've been able to do in building and dedicating this temple. And maybe some of you can relate to that. You know, you've been in that big product launch or that project you had to accomplish, and you know what it feels like to get at the end of it, and you're so exhausted, but yet so fulfilling at the same time. Maybe some of you are students here at South Bay. You're just finishing school. You're graduating or just graduated this year, so congratulations to all of you for that. But you know that same feeling. It's like the fulfillment of, wow, I did it. We did it. And Solomon would be in this moment of embracing this fulfillment and the satisfaction over what they've accomplished. And this is when God would appear to Solomon and paint the picture of these two different paths. And I don't think it's by accident that God would come in this moment after they had just accomplished so much to almost be a sober reminder to Solomon. And this is what he says in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3. The Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. In other words, God comes and says, Solomon, I heard your prayer. Man, when you stood before the entire nation, I heard it. My name will be here. This will be a place where I will dwell. I've set this place apart as something special for me to be here amongst this nation. And then he says to Solomon in verse 4, he uses this if-then statement. But as for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. You see, God looks at Solomon and says, Solomon, I've heard your prayer. I've got this. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm promising you. But here's for you. If you will faithfully follow me. If you will faithfully turn toward me and move the direction of your life in a way that's coming towards me, then I will establish your throne forever. You will have my blessing. I will be there with you. I will provide for you. You will have these things, these benefits, because you're moving toward me. And then in verse 6, he says, but if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off from Israel, or Israel from the land I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple that you have just dedicated will be a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and will say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster on them. It's two very different paths, two totally different directions that Solomon and the nation of Israel could go down. One, God says, listen, if you will go on a path toward me, if you move the direction of your lives toward me, then you will experience my blessing. You experience my benefit, my provision, my care. I will be there. But if you go on a path in a direction away from me, then you will experience the consequences of it. I will remove my hand back, and there will become disaster and consequences that you will face as a result of your choice. And there's these two different directions that they can head in. And it's almost like God reminds Solomon right in this instance, right where he's just feels like he's achieved so much, to say, you know what? You feel like you've achieved so much, but let me remind you that your life is moving in a direction. And it's very important to give thought to the direction in which your life is going. And for all of us who are here at all of our campuses and online, I mean, all of us, but our lives are all moving somewhere. They're all moving in a direction. They're all moving towards a destination. And the question that we have to wrestle with is, where is our life going toward? What path are we on? Are we on a path that's moving toward God, or are we on a path that's moving away from God? And I know that on our campuses and here, and even in this message and online, like, that we have people who, church is brand new. We're still understanding, what does it mean to know God? What does the Bible say? I don't really know how this whole thing works. Like, we're wrestling through all these different questions. And we're so glad that you're here. Our whole goal in starting South Bay was to help people, no matter where they're at, to be able to understand and walk alongside them, help them understand what it means to know Jesus and say yes to him and begin to follow him. And this is the best question that you can wrestle with, is, where is your life heading? And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, I mean, for us, one of the characteristics of our life should be that we are passionately following Jesus. That in every area of our life, it is marked by saying yes to God, yes to him. And we are willing to change when we read the Bible and we see what he says. We're willing to change and do something or take steps of faith when we feel that God is leading us to that. We're willing to work on our marriages and on our relationships and in our character. I mean, like, we do these things because our life is marked by saying yes as we passionately follow Jesus. And the question now becomes for us is, how do we begin to do that? And how does our planning, if we're trying to move our life toward God and in that direction, how does our planning and our trusting all go hand in hand? And I can't help but think for Solomon that this instance where God would appear to him and paint this picture of these two different paths, that had to mark him in some way. And I wonder if some of this, God appearing to him helped influence some of the things that Solomon would write in Proverbs that we can take today and learn. Because here's the thing, is if we are going to take the path towards God, if we're going to be faithful to God, it requires us to be intentional. I mean, all of us probably know someone who's been successful at something at some point. Now, somebody who's successful, they're not accidentally successful. There is something that they did that was intentional along the way to be able to reach success. And this part for us, this first characteristic that comes into our faith is that of planning, to think about a plan. I love what Solomon would write in Proverbs 14, verse 8. He says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception." In other words, he says the wise person is going to think about the direction of their life and where they are heading and what are they doing to move them in that direction. I like the way a different translation says it. It says, "The prudent understand where they are going, but fools deceive themselves." See, a wise person knows where they're going. They're looking at the steps they're taking. But a fool just says, "You know what? I think, I got it all figured out." But then they deceive themselves in their direction. They're not giving thought to their ways or understanding. And I think about a lot like this in life with faith is kind of like this. And you've all seen these. This is a traffic cone. Most of you have driven around these. Some of you have driven over these at some point in your driving career. And, you know, like the point of this is a orange rubber cone. I mean, it doesn't weigh hardly anything. You're driving your car that weighs a couple thousand pounds. You could annihilate this cone. But what happens is it's amazing, right? We strategically place cones in a parking lot or in a street. And you know what happens? People generally drive around them. You know, we go around them because what they mean is they're there to give us direction. Oftentimes it may be there's construction, there is a hole in the road, there is something that would not be good for you to go through. And so cones are there to help direct us with our car around an obstacle. And when we come into our life and we start to think about our faith, as we start to think about planning as far as it comes to following Jesus, it means I'm starting to think intentionally, giving thought to my ways and the direction that I'm going and putting specific things in place that could help me move towards God. I mean, maybe I'm going to put something in my life that's going to say, you know what, I'm actually going to start to figure out and learn how to read the Bible and understand it because that's how I'm going to start to move my life in a direction towards God. Maybe what I'm going to do is I'm going to find some mentors who can help me. Maybe it's in my dating relationship. Maybe it's in my marriage or parenting or another area of my life that's going to help move me towards God. And I'm going to set this in place. Maybe another thing is I'm going to start to think about my finances and how can I better manage my finances with my budget to honor God. But then how can I also develop a lifestyle of generosity where God's going to use me to help through finances, now it become a tool, not for my own gain, but now to be able to invest in others, to lead them to Jesus, to release people from poverty. Like I can be part of this by developing this in my life. Maybe what I'm going to do is I'm going to give thought to my career path, my schooling, my plans. I'm going to start to think, God, how have you wired me, gifted me? Where do you want to move me? I want to be intentional as I think through this. And then maybe it's to think even about the community that we have. You know, maybe it's to take the step to get into a life group or get community around me because the people that we surround ourselves with will influence the direction of our life and the ultimate destination that we will head on. And as we start to think about planning, giving thought to our ways, as Solomon says a wise person does, we are being intentional in what we are doing along the way. We are evaluating our steps as we prayerfully ask God what we need to work on in our life, or the areas where he might be leading us. Now, let me say this disclaimer. This is not in any way, shape, or form earning our way back to God. I don't sit there and go, you know what? I'm going to be a really good person and get back to God. I'm going to do this and my sins are going to go away. Like, no. We don't do that because it's our faith in Jesus alone that allows us to experience forgiveness and have the hope of heaven. But it is now as we start to follow Jesus, we start to pray and ask God, where are the areas I need to grow? And we begin to evaluate our lives. We begin to look back in his word and say, okay, if this is what God says, what do I need to begin to position in my life to help me move in a direction towards God? And it's intentional, but then it's also, we have to be diligent. We must be diligent to apply what we plan. You know, when we think about it, we intentionally plan, but then we must be diligent in our execution and in our application. You know, if I went down to Stanford and I went and got a PhD, I could go get a PhD. I mean, I could be like, I'm one of the smartest people on the planet because hardly anybody has these, right? Like, I have this degree. But then if I just go home and sit on the couch and I binge Netflix all day, I mean, I'm going to catch up on some TV shows and, you know, I'm going to know what's happening. But I'm going to be like, that's all I'm going to do. The degree that I just spent all this time on, all these years on, does nothing for me to change and impact my life. Because I took all this knowledge, yet I did nothing with it. But oftentimes, I think where we have some confusion around is what we look at and we think about a spiritual mature person. Is that we oftentimes, and I used to think this, that spiritual maturity equated to how much of the Bible I know. How much about God I know up here. I can quote all the verses. I can do all this stuff. But in reality, spiritual maturity is when I learn it, I do it. When I learn it, I apply it. When I learn it, I act on it. And I begin to walk in my life. And that is the measure of spiritual maturity, not how much you know. You may know two verses, but if you're doing those two verses and you're diligent about it, then you are more spiritually mature than somebody who knows the whole Bible yet is sitting on the couch binging Netflix. That's good. That's good. All right? So we must begin to change our way of thinking that says, you know what, now I'm going to be intentional at learning what is God leading me to, what does he want to do, and I'm going to be diligent about it. I mean, think about this. If we got diligent about what God says about marriages, how many more marriages would not end in divorce but would end in success and long lasting? If we got diligent about doing what God says about investing in our kids and leading them and praying for them, how many more kids would go on without the hurt and the pain that many of us may carry to this day? If we got diligent about applying our finances and generosity in our life and we started to move forward, like the fulfillment that we could have and being part of investing in other people and seeing God use us. I mean, you go down every area of your life. If we start to look at what God says, we were intentional about it, we got diligent about it, the difference that this can begin to make in our life. You see, I'm giving thought to my ways, as Solomon says. I'm giving understanding, I'm thinking about it, and I'm now cooperating with God to move in that direction. I'm planning intentionally and diligently. Because our life is moving in a direction. The question is, where is it going? You know, one of the things that's really helped me with this every year is just one thing that I try and do is at the beginning of the year, do like an annual kind of planning time. I like to sit back and I like to look back at the previous year. I actually kind of write up like a little doc that just kind of summarizes the year. I mean, like the things that happened that were good, the things that were not so good, the things I'm like, I should never do that again. You know what I'm saying? Like we all have those things that happen in the course of a year. But I look back at that and I look back at the previous year and then I start to say, okay, God, what is it this year? As I look at trying to move in my life towards you this year, what are the few things that maybe you want me to work on this year? Maybe what is a characteristic in my life? I mean, do I need to try to be more patient with my kids? Is it something I need to do to serve more? Or do I need to work on humility? I mean, do I need to work on a way that I'm handling our finances? Or do my wife and I need to work on something in our marriage? I mean, maybe it's at work. We're going to try and accomplish these couple goals with our ministries and our teams, and this is where we feel like you're leading us. But in the beginning of the year, to start to prayerfully do that and intentionally plan so that during the year we can be diligent to work out that plan. And here's the thing. It's like, I may do this in the beginning of the year, but I never do everything. We don't ever accomplish everything that we set out on. But I guarantee that I accomplish more by taking that time than I would if I didn't. See, we're going to give intentional thought to where our lives are heading and what we're putting in place, and we're going to be diligent about working towards it. And the second part, the second characteristic, is trusting. Trusting. And this is the part, man, if you're a planner and you like to lock it down, this is the part that drives you crazy. You know, this is the one where it's like you get into the part where you may not have control. But this is where faith really comes into play. This is where we have to lean in and start to trust God. But you know, one of the problems is that we all like to be in control, right? I mean, how many of you would say when you get in a car, you want to be the driver? Anybody, all of our campuses, you want to be that? This is me. I want to be the driver when I get in the car. It's because I trust me. I don't trust you, you know? Like, I want to be the one driving the car. And so here's the thing. I know how I'm driving, how I'm going to navigate traffic, you know, stuff like this. There's one of our pastors, Felipe Santos. He's our exec pastor and our pastor at Sunnyvale. Now, he's Brazilian, and if there's any Brazilians and South Americans in the house, y'all are crazy drivers. Like, let me just go ahead and say that. Every time I ride somewhere with Felipe, I get saved. Like, more times I'm confessing confessing sins. Like, I'm like, dear Lord, Jesus, help me not hit that thing. Okay, we're good. So, like, you know, don't ride with South Americans. They're crazy drivers, man. So that's the lesson learned from that one. But, you know, I like to be the driver because it's a part where I want to be in control. I mean, I want to know, like, I got this car, right? But what happens in our lives is that we want to hold on to the steering wheel of our lives and have control. And I hate to quote Carrie Underwood, but we have to let Jesus take the wheel, right? Like, this is what we have to do. This is the part of trusting, is that I'm planning, but then I'm willing to release some control to allow God to work in my plan. You see, I'm taking my plans that I have made and I'm starting to open hand, hold them to God to say, God, it's okay if you want to make some changes. You know, maybe God is going to come to some of you and he's going to say, you know, you have this school plan, this career path that you're on. Here was your 10, 15, 20 year plan. Like, you've been working the plan, but God's going to want to change the plan. And you're going to feel the tension of, I don't want to let go of the plan. I like the plan. The plan looks good in for me in the future. And God's going to begin to change it. Maybe for some of you, he's beginning to change the direction that you thought your lives would go. Maybe for some of you, it's beginning to cross over even into ministry. Somebody just freaked out. Because God is beginning to change and straighten our path as we go forward, as we trust him. Maybe for some of you, there are some things that you're holding on to. There's some forgiveness, some hurt that's in your life. There's some bitterness that's there. There's some anger. There's some impatience. There's a characteristic that you know that God wants you to loosen your control of, but yet you're holding on to it so hard. You're like, I don't want to deal with this. I just want it to, like, go away. Just carry it back here. I don't want to bring it up because the pain is too much. And God is saying, I want you to just trust me. It may not be part of your plan to work with this, but trust me that this is going to be what's best. And as we begin to hold with open hands, God begins to straighten out our path. And I love what Solomon would write in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In other words, when you start to look at your plans and God starts to change some things up a little bit, you may not quite understand it. It may not make sense, but this is the part where faith begins to come in. It's the part where in every situation and season I find myself in, I can say, in some way, I'm going to learn something in this, and God is doing something, even though I don't see it, because I trust that God has a different vantage point on this situation than I do. And we begin to trust, not leaning on our own understanding, but now we begin to, in all your ways, submit to him. We commit our plans to God. We hold them out to him. We loosen our grip of control. And he, what does it say? Here's the promise. He will make your paths straight. You see that? Here's this place in our life as we are following Jesus, as we are seeking to unlock God's best in our life and follow him. I am planning intentionally, working diligently at it, seeking God on it. But then as I move forward, I am open with my plans, trusting that God will make my path straight. And the life hack for us is when we commit our plans to God and let him make our path straight. And ultimately, it'll lead us in the direction toward God, in the direction that is best for our lives, and the one that God has for us. And you know, it's not always easy. This takes discernment. It takes time. I mean, we start to understand what God is doing when we read the Bible. We pray. We seek God. We seek out advice and wisdom from mentors and people who we look up to who can help guide us. We come into life and asking these questions. We pray and we ask God, would you close this door? Would you shut down this opportunity? Would you open up this? If this is what you want, God, we want to move forward with you. And we begin to navigate through life with planning and trusting as we move in a direction toward God. Commit your plans to God and trust that he will make your paths straight. My wife and I kind of experienced this in our lives after we had finished seminary, which seminary is kind of like grad school for pastors. And the fact that I even was at seminary was kind of still a shock to me. You know, I look back, I mean, I was on the career path, like I was going to be the airline pilot, going to fly. I'd started my flight training and God came and moved my cones all around in my life, you know, like messing me up. And so here I am, I'm at seminary now. I meet my wife, we start dating, we get married. That was in the plan, so that cone was good. And so we're good there. And so we get down this point point where we're at the end, and so we're graduating seminary, and it's kind of like this part of, all right, now what? I mean, y'all, some of y'all have been in that place. You're like, I have no idea what we're going to do. So we started just kind of intentionally trying to plan and pray and say, okay, God, we're from the Southeast, like South. That's why I say y'all, my nickname is Biscuit. So they, Southern right here, you know? So like, we're looking to move back to the Southeast. This is where our family is. This is, you know, we don't have kids yet, but y'all know if you ever have kids or if you're a grandparent, when the grandkids come around, like, you know, you should try and be close if you can, because they get funny about grandkids sometimes. But, you know, it's like we want to move back here. So we're all looking at this different direction. We're like, okay, we're going to go back here to the Southeast. I started to get my resume ready. We started to look for churches with opening job positions. We started sending them out, did some interviews, some stuff like this, and everything just kept falling through. Like either people aren't calling back or it's not a fit, or we go through the interview, nothing's happening. We're like, oh, here we go. So now we're continuing to pray. We're trying to move forward and being intentional and diligent. I mean, we're not sitting back. We're working the plan, but we're starting to pray and ask God to lead us. And over this course of time, we started to seek out some mentors. We went to some different pastors that we knew. Even one of those was Andy Wood, who's our lead pastor and was a longtime friend of ours. And we began to just kind of process through the situations that we find ourselves in and where we were heading. We began to seek out that advice. And God began to work in our lives around a few different things. We started, as we were praying, started thinking about being part of and feeling like God might be leading us to be part of a church plant or a church start, like a brand new church. We started to pray and sense that God may be leading us to be outside the Bible Belt, the South, you know, where there's tons of churches down there. We started to pray and started to think about, man, if we've got like 30, 35 really solid years that we're going to be able to run hard in this, like where would we want to spend these? Is there somewhere where God could let us be long term? And imagine the impact that we could have. And as we started to process through this, God was shaping in us this direction. And then there was this crazy day where we were both sitting there and we just felt like God was saying, call Andy. Because there's this little church called South Bay out in San Jose, California. I had never been further than Fort Worth, Texas. The only thing I knew about California was earthquakes and movies, right? Like that was it. And it was, we just felt like God was saying, call Andy. And so we called him. We're like, hey, you guys are only a few months old, but we just feel like we should call you and say, do you need somebody? You know our story. You know what we're going through. And we entered into this place that we never saw the direction of our lives heading. Where now we're entering these dialogues and we're praying through this process of coming to be here at South Bay. After that, it meant we had to go raise our financial support. I mean, we didn't have a promise of salary, anything. We had to go do all this stuff. But what happened is we did that, and we walked through this process. We raised our support. God was making the path straight. You see, what it took for us was it was intentionally saying we want to set our lives in a direction toward God. We feel that God has called us into ministry. We want to take steps forward. We're going to intentionally plan and do what we know. In our human limited knowledge, we're going to do what we know, and we're going to work the plan. We're going to be diligent about it, but we're going to continue to pray and trust that God is going to make our path straight. And we commit our plans to God and let him make our path straight. But the question that we all have to start with is that question of where is your life heading? What direction are you moving in? Are you heading toward God or are you heading away from God? And then if we're going to try and move toward God, we have to ask the question, what are we intentionally doing and positioning in our life that is going to help move us toward him? What are we diligently working at? Again, not to try and earn God's favor or get back to God, but because of what Jesus is doing in me, what am I diligently doing to bring my life in line with what he says so that I can move towards him? And then where are the areas of our life that we have to be willing to trust, to loosen the grip, to let go of the wheel, to let God have some control and some room to make our path straight so that we can move towards God's best. But you know the great thing for us is the characteristics of God, that he is a loving God. He is a heavenly Father. He is a God who looks at us, his creation, says, I made you distinctly to be connected in relationship with me, and I've created you for a purpose. And right now, you may be off the path going away from me, But God would look and he would send Jesus, his one and only son, to come to this earth, to where he would live a perfect life, go to the cross where he could be the sacrifice. Remember in the temple, they were offering sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, but Jesus would come to be the final sacrifice once and for all, to help us get on a path toward God, to be connected in relationship with him. And it's not that I can hop on the path, but it's through Jesus. My faith in Jesus, my trust in him, saying, Jesus, you did what I could never do. And as a result, I'm putting my faith in you. And now I want to move my life toward God and trust that you will work in me. And today it starts with saying yes to Jesus, acknowledging that we need him, acknowledging our sin and moving towards him so that we can passionately follow him. But some of you, you may be in the place where you said, you know, I've done that before. I have put my faith in Jesus, but yet I have fallen off the path. There's been instances that have happened in life where I feel like I still don't even know how to get the path straight. You know, the great thing for us is there is hope, because God's invitation is to come back, to return. Not that you got to come make the path straight, but that let God make the path straight. That there is forgiveness. There is grace when we humbly turn, come back to God, and allow him to begin to extend forgiveness and change our lives and straighten our paths. And then as we start to move forward in our life, time after time, we begin to now move towards God, moving the direction of our life towards the final destination of knowing God more, living out his best. And it's the cumulative effect of intentional planning, being diligent and trusting, where we commit our plans to God and we trust him to make our path straight. Will you pray with me? God, today, for each of us who are here, there are things in our lives that we may be facing, decisions, situations, areas of our life where we don't know what is the best thing. But God, I pray for each person, God, no matter where they find themselves, that God, there would be that burning question of where is my life heading and what direction? But then at the same time, God, that you would help us to commit our plans to you, to trust that you will make our paths straight. God, would you help us to see that it is both planning and trusting, and to know how to manage that tension in our lives as we passionately follow you, Jesus. And I pray for those who are here, that church is still brand new. God, that as they determine what it means to know you and follow you, what does it mean to even know Jesus, that God, you would begin to just reveal yourself to them. God, that you would help them to really wrestle with the question of what direction is my life heading on? And that ultimately through that process, God, you would put people in their path who can help them. You would put verses of scripture. You would put different instances that will help them see you. And we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.